Part 1. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott. Sorry, Dr. George was filling my glass.
And we have a special guest again, Rick from A Kangaroo Court, and his doctor, Dr. George.
I'm here too.
And I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Rick is still alive after a angioplasty on Thursday, September...
something.
First?
No. Friday was the first.
95% blockage, and now you, how do you feel? How do you feel now?
Wonderful.
Almost a week and a half later.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
My weight lifting restriction has been lifted.
And have you changed your diet at all?
Yes.
Really? Because I saw you at the Beacon, and you were eating fries and...
No. My doctor, he was there with me. My doctor was right there with me.
Yeah. No.
They were on his plate, but he was not in
his plate.
This was my first time ordering out, and I forgot to ask for the substitution.
Right.
And she said, I go, it's too late. I know I got fries, but what happens if I ask you for a substitution? She said, we just give you extra coleslaw. Or no fries.
Oh.
Right.
Nice. Some more cream.
We'll substitute those fries with nothing. Yeah.
Right.
How about that?
Well, I didn't eat them. I just left them there. But I had some kind of a turkey wrap.
But we couldn't give you mayonnaise coleslaw. You know?
Turkey wrap. No mayo.
It's called
no mayonnaise.
No cheese? No mayo?
No mayonnaise.
Cheese is okay.
Cheese is okay. Nice.
None of that... what is it? A saturated fat or the trans fatty?
Partially hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Right, which turns into like plastic.
Well, they're getting rid of that from the American diet.
Right, I heard that.
So he doesn't, like, not in chips or anything anymore.
So he doesn't lift his
pant
leg.
There.
I'll tell you that his bruising is going down. So don't ask him to demonstrate.
Oh, he showed me.
Oh, too late.
The bruising in his thigh.
He's got very ugly ball hair, I must say.
That's because they shaved it. John.
That would be much prettier if it was braided. What do you say?
Well, what am I supposed to say? Rick, you have nice ball hair, I must say.
Why are you looking at Rick's balls?
He was showing
you the bruise,
bruising.
Not the balls.
Can't you just say, describe it to me? You know, I don't need to see it. That's okay. I'm okay with a description.
Well, that's why I said to the...
No, it's like a car accident. You can't look away. You know, you're like looking.
You know, it's like when your aunt's there with her legs apart. You know?
It looks
Ixnay.
<In a robe. laughs>
Ixnay on the
Ant Ray
in the
Beaver Slave.
Eaver Bay. Youch.
Expose.
You tell this guy a story before we go on, and he's got to dredge it up, John.
I thought Dr. George was talking about his aunt.
Now, where are you going with this?
Yeah, what?
I guess he has an aunt, too. So.
Yeah, it was a nice bruise, though, I got to tell you. It was a hell of a bruise.
Hell of a bruise.
Oh, yeah.
Colorful. I should have showed you my bruise when I got the
vas,
John.
And it went over to his balls, too, which at least one. I didn't get to see the whole ball, but I was
balls?
That looked like it fucking hurts a lot.
You mean balls?
Balls.
Plural?
Yeah, I didn't get to see the full ball.
Well, you should have seen my vasectomy bruise,
He didn't pull
bruise,
his pants
John.
Down to his ankles like when I went golfing. Did I tell you that?
Friday.
Yeah. You went golfing with Special Ed, right?
Yeah. Me and the lovely wife took third place in the absolute tournament.
Nice.
At the it was a three par three. I think Special Ed shaved some strokes for me. And at the ninth hole, we're all pretty liquored up. And Jeremy, one of our, the guy I told you that runs all the time.
Right. And he listens to
us.
Does he still do that?
Yeah. he says to the ladies, look at the moon. And we're all looking behind them, and there's a moon. It's like rising in the sky. And we turn back and look, and Jeremy's got his pants down to his ankles, and you can see his sphincter and bollocks.
And his bits?
Yeah, pointing at the ladies. Look at this moon!
Was he like the fifth wheel?
No, he was there with his lovely wife.
How did she react to that?
Like, regular old
that
Jeremy.
That happens every day.
Yeah, he's been drinking again.
I get to see the backside of his bullocks every day.
We're doing shots of vodka per hole. So we're a little fucked up by the time I got to the beacon.
So that was like three shots every hole then?
Dude, by the time I got to the beacon, I was starting to get the pounding headache, you know, because I hadn't had another drink. And we had a big dinner, and then they come out, and there's a guy that announces all the prizes and stuff. And so by the time we got to the beacon, what was it, about 10:30?
10:30, yeah, maybe 10:30.
So I'm pretty effed up, and I got to run into people I, you know, really don't care to see.
You want to talk about that or not?
Like what?
Well, you
ran
into
Mike Garcia and Volpe.
What's the matter with seeing Mike Garcia?
I don't know. He's kind of a creep.
And Volpe. Oh, that's because he made that pizza joke about you.
Volpe was at the guitar show.
Oh, I didn't hear him say that. I just heard you say that. Maybe you made that pizza joke.
Yeah, maybe I made it up.
And you've been wanting to say that.
Look, man, you want me to take him out, I'll do it.
No.
Right? Just say the word.
No, he's no problem for me.
All right.
What the fuck?
So, Volpe, what's the matter with running into Volpe?
Nothing.
Okay. Volpe's going to be a guest on the show, isn't he?
There was some other broads there I didn't want to really see.
Oh, so do you want to talk about him or
not? The chick you were talking to.
Oh, really? Different chick?
Oh, yeah, a couple of them.
Really?
A couple of others I did not want to see, because my wife might sock them.
Sock them?
And well, she was a little liquored up, and I didn't want her to start throwing
down.
Why
would she sock them? Because you had a history with these women?
I don't know what kind of women they are now, you know.
For the benefit of
but
your
back
listeners.
Then, she socked a couple of them.
This was because there was a kind of a reunion at the bar, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it?
Not my class.
Well, it was 81, like a class of 81, 86 for the high school.
Class of 81 and 86?
Correct.
I'm trying to think. I didn't see anybody from 81. Of course, I really didn't know a lot of people from 81. But that would explain why Ann Baumhart was there.
Why? She's 86, I thought.
Right, 86. Yeah. And isn't Garcia, he's 86.
He's 86.
Is Volpe 86?
Yeah.
She looks good
for
86.
There you go.
Yeah. They're all 86.
So, Scott, tell me about when I had got to Beacon, I talked to Ron for a little while. We exchanged pleasantries. And
Ron is the manager of the Beacon.
And he's the guy that books the bands. And
books the bands.
We played there a few times a night.
A few times? You've played there, what, 50 times at least?
And we exchanged our pleasantries, you know. And then Scott walked in, and I said, Scott, all right, I've buttered them up. Time for you to spread the jam.
Close the deal, right?
Right. How'd that go?
Well...
What do you mean, Rick? You couldn't just add... The guy's a freaking Neanderthal
We're
retard.
We're a band.
Well, here's what I did, John. Here's what I did. So I
don't remember anybody working a deal with me with the track gigs. Well, I got to remember that next year.
Tag team, man. It's tag team.
I got the first gigs in the track, and then I handed them off to you.
Because
we are a band.
The first one?
When I played there with Tony Rossi.
I wasn't in the band.
When I played with Tony.
Rick's on guitar. Scott's on bass and John's on drum. So anyway, I'm looking for Ron, the manager of the Beacon, to get a gig to close the deal, right, John?
Right.
So I go up to get a beverage at the beer garden
bar.
You
went outside, yeah.
And Ron's standing in there, and there's nobody else in there. So I said, hey, Ron, did you get a demotion or what?
Oh, my God.
He looked at me like, oh,
you, fuck
like
you.
He was ready to serve. He walked up to the bar. He was ready to get me whatever I asked for.
A free drink.
And I said that, and he backed away, crossed his legs, and looked at me like, you fucking son of a bitch.
Well, that was a nice 15-year run.
So I don't know if we'll be playing there again. Unless Ron, you know, has a grabber, maybe, or something.
I'll go back in.
What do you mean? Why is he the manager still or
he
no?
He was completely offended
by my
comment. Yes.
See, the same thing happened when I said, how much did you take off the top? and that upset him too. I go, that's it? How much you pocket out of that? And I don't understand that. You know, we've had this relationship for how many years, Rick?
Almost 15.
And, you know, we give each other shit all the time.
Oh, but Ron, wait a minute. Yeah. Ron hasn't been there for 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Pretty close.
Is the manager?
We've only had, Jim was there maybe the first 2 or 3 years. That's
right.
It.
Yeah,
yeah, but then there was a guy that was living with Bones that was the manager.
Oh,
the
right.
The coke guy.
Right.
And that,
but that was like
in
6 months. Yeah. But that
was
that.
That was like in 90... It was in 95.
The guy stole from the bar.
Yeah, he stole from the bar.
From Bones.
He was always high.
He showed me how to make a potato gun, though.
No, that was Peterson.
Oh, that's right.
That's a different guy.
That was like in 95. That's only 11 years ago. So Ron and Max has been there.
But we're just talking about
11 years.
We're talking about the bar in general. They know us, and Ron knows we played there. John, I mean, Ron knows we played there for that long. So you know, it's
a
relationship.
Kidding.
You guys were there before 91, though.
I say, how
you?
About this?
We
Let's go in there on Thursday, the three of us, and we'll get the gig.
Oh, Thursday?
Yeah. After practice.
A little bit quieter.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
All right,
yeah,
John's backing out already. Are you backing out, John?
No.
Well, you're going to have to apologize to the guy first.
No,
ooh,
I'm not.
I'm not apologizing.
No. That would not be the kangaroo court way.
Fucking A.
Scott. Yeah, I'm the newest guy. Fucking A, man.
Fucking A, man.
John, did you get to watch that documentary I called you about today?
No. Oh, did you leave a message?
I told your wife.
Oh.
I guess that's not the same as leaving a message.
This is how it went down. Shannon, did you tell your dad that Rick called? No. Oh. Rick called, and I'm putting Nathan's football pants on him. I'm like, oh, good. Well, what's up? Do I call him back? Well, he was talking about some sort of documentary on VH1. Well, when did he call? About 2 hours ago.
What was it, the catheter documentary? Behind the scenes catheter? What was it?
So I did not see it, whatever it was.
I'm sorry. It was good.
What was it?
It's called Metal Doc.
Metal Doc?
I saw that. It's the guy. The guy's flying around and he's interviewing everybody.
Yeah,
like Twisted Sister.
The funniest interview was with Ronnie James Dio
because
Ronnie James Dio claims
Gene Simmons.
Yeah, because Ronnie James claimed, or he gave the history how he invented that sign. What's that called with the two fingers?
That's the heavy metal sign.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It started off something from his grandmother in the old days, and he talked about how he refined it. He goes, well, if you ever talk to Gene Simmons, he'll say he invented it because, well, he invented air and everything. And
shoes, he said something about he patented the term OJ.
Yeah.
But wait a minute.
It's
wait
very
a minute.
Gene.
Now, John, you got to envision the heavy metal.
He's talking about the horns.
I understand.
Scott. Come on.
I understand. But envision that. Now include your middle finger in that. And what do they call that?
Two in the pink, one in the stink.
That's right. The shocker.
The shocker.
Did Gene Simmons invent the shocker?
Oh, the fingers have to be together, the two?
Yeah, the two.
Yeah, the index in the middle together.
That's the shocker,
then bend
man.
Bend down the ring finger.
That's all right.
And the
like
pinky.
This.
All right. I got it.
But we do it the other way.
Well,
one in the pink, two in the stink.
Yeah, but John, old school is the six-pack grip. You know what I'm saying?
What do we call that, though? We didn't call it the shocker.
We called it the six-pack grip. It was the old school way.
The reverse shot. No, we didn't. We had a different name.
No, I've always called it the six-pack grip.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, like you could six-pack grip. You should have seen this knucklehead Rick at the Beacon with his hat backwards. Hey, I'm going to go for broke here.
Did it bring you back to the past, Jeff?
I wanted to see him Wednesday night. You know, after we left him at the bar in Chicago.
Well, let's talk about that. The Spasmatics. We had a band field trip. We went down to Duffy's to see the Spasmatics. And on Sunday, we told everybody, hey, we're going to the Spasmatics. And guess how many TTN fans showed up, John? Rick, guess how many?
I don't know what they look like. I mean, I wouldn't be able to identify one.
Haven't bought any shirts yet.
We pack that place with TTN fans is what I'm saying. At least half the people were there to see us and the other half were there to see the Spasmatics.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That is one big pile of shit.
And if we didn't get there when we did. Wow.
I know. There would be nothing.
What do you mean there would be nothing?
And Rick, there would be nobody there.
But there were at least 400 there, I think, at the time.
Yeah. And Rick saved me from fries.
I did.
Fries. He dove on the fries like a grenade, man. I ordered a BLT with avocado. And the fries, like, it's separate, a separate order. And half the plate, it was basically a sandwich atop of some ginormous fries. And I ate the sandwich, and within seconds of me taking a bite of the fries, Rick threw himself on the fries to save me. He took one for the team.
Okay, so when you say that, the fries never got eaten then?
They never got eaten.
They were just pushed to the side?
No, not pushed to the side. Rick threw himself on them like a grenade in Nam.
And then what? And stuck to his shirt?
Yeah.
Then he told the cute waitress. Yeah, then he told the cute waitress, I can't eat him. Because he just had angioplasty.
That's why I can't eat him out of guilt.
Are you going to talk about the waitresses there? Or?
Why not? You have a story about the waitresses there? At Duffy's?
They were hot. All of them.
Yeah.
All of them. I know. Oh. Yeah, we...
All right, so anyway, you guys got there before me.
Now, don't tell me you think that Ann chick at the Beacon was hot.
No, I don't. Okay. I do not think that at all. Not at all.
If you'd have told me that, I'd have to just go off. Because
well, wait a minute. You used to date that Ann chick at the Beacon.
It didn't used to. It was like a week.
Just a week, yeah. But a week is dating.
And then my wife
dating.
Hired her.
While you were dating her?
No. At years after.
Years later.
Years later. The wife says, hey, do you know John from TTN? She says, yeah, I used to date him. Well, I live with him.
And that's
all
that.
No, it was only like a couple of weeks or something. We met at a party. She was going to DeKalb.
Well, when your wife ran into Ann, I don't know about your wife, but Ann seemed genuinely happy to see Beth. Was it a reciprocal?
Reciprocal?
Yeah, was it reciprocal?
Reciprocal?
Or did, like, when you got back in the car to go home, did your wife say, what the fuck was that bitch doing there?
No. See, my wife... If she had that feeling, she probably would have punched her in the face.
Right then?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she's, she's all cool with that. She's
all right, then.
No problem at all.
All right, so getting back to the field trip.
She was happy to see some of the other girls there that I knew, but there were some other girls with those girls that I was like, I wanted to punch in the face.
You wanted to punch in the face.
That I didn't like. Yeah. She didn't know him, though.
But you knew him.
Yeah. So we worked our way. I said, hey, where's Scott? Oh, back there. So I
Why
said, let's
the hostility?
Go. It's a long story.
Okay, do we have time for it now?
No.
All right.
Not at all.
Put that in the memory bank.
All right,
we'll,
getting
we'll
back to
the
spasmatics.
You want to put me back into therapy?
Wednesday. Every Wednesday they play at Duffy's.
Right.
Which is at Diversey in Sheridan?
I think it's Sheridan.
Sheridan?
Yeah.
And you got to go see the spasmatics. You got to see the spasmatics.
Got to go early to get a seat.
Just to see the show.
The show is outstanding.
Which is not the band.
It is not the band.
It's not the band at all.
So you guys got there before me, and then I showed up a little bit later, and I thought I was going to be late for the whole thing, and I get there, and nobody's in costume yet.
Yeah.
Because the bass player.
Rocco, the guitar player, comes over, and he's like, yeah, you know, hey, how's it going? Hey, man, where's Steve, the bass player? Because that's the guy... We have a studio, and he's a couple doors down from our studio.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who invited us. Where's Steve? Oh, Steve, he shows up. He'll show up, like, you know,
He's last minute.
Last minute, whenever.
Obviously last minute pulling out, too, because he's got a kid.
Well, the thing about it is, these guys have to get into a costume, right? They have to go change.
Right.
So Rocco goes and changes. He gets in his nerd costume. And
he's, what's his name, Sven, or...
Oh, I can't remember.
What the fuck is his name?
Who?
Rocco.
Rocco turns into... He's Rocco when he's in the aphrodisiacs.
And that's how
he was Chester or something.
Chester. And he'd like to be referred to as Rocco when he's not
Right.
Chester.
Rocco.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But the thing about Steve is he just showed up in costume.
Yeah, so, like he rode his bike
right,
there,
like he
his
rode
moped.
His motorcycle with his base on the back. And now let's try to describe the costume
it's
that Steve
impossible.
Wears.
It's impossible.
I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a shot.
Well, first of all, his stage name is Lamar.
So,
Lamar.
Which, think about it, that costume closely resembles the costume that the real Lamar wore in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Right. But when in Revenge of the Nerds?
At the end, I think, during that performance they did.
No. They all had matching uniforms. But I think it's the costume that he wore when he did the javelin? The javelin.
There you go. Yeah.
The half shirt.
Right. The half shirt with the real high shorts.
Silk shorts. Yeah. Very tight.
And what's with the giant flashlight in his pants? What was that?
You know, you pointed that out to me, John, when he walked in. You're like, what's going on? Does he have like a massive boner?
You know, I look at that. I look at balls and cocks.
Balls and cocks. Because you saw Rick's earlier.
Yeah.
His bullocks.
No, he just saw
just
part
one.
Of the spiny wrinkle bag.
I just saw the bag, and the bag was about 8 inches. I never got the bottom of the ball, so he's got some low hangers.
You looked at Steve, and he definitely had something going on in those short shorts.
Yeah.
Now, whether that was manufactured or whether it was real, we don't know.
We don't know.
Because we didn't ask him.
Didn't ask him.
So I envision he drives his motorcycle down in this costume, and the thing that you're not... visualizing, and we should have taken a
picture. There is a picture from that night on their MySpace account. It is now their picture with him wearing that fucked up red, white, and blue helmet.
It's like a
Evel Knievel. Yeah,
it's a cloth. Yeah, it's like the old leather football helmets, but Evel Knievel style.
Well, we're gonna have to link to that and put it on our page or something.
Top 16.
Sweet.
It's them, Spasmatics with Lamar.
So Steve finally shows up.
He's wearing a Barbie backpack.
No, Care Bear.
Care Bears.
Care Bears, yeah.
Oh, no. How do you find one of those?
Well, he finally shows up. They start playing. And the first time we saw him, Steve invited us to go, but Steve wasn't there. For some reason, he had to back out, and they flew a guy in from Cleveland. To play bass. But Steve, in my opinion, definitely was the star of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, Rocco, he's solid, he's consistent, he's there. He's going to give it to you.
He was in such a character, right down to the ass picking.
Well, yeah, Steve, you're talking about Steve.
Yeah.
Steve was, the second he gets on stage, Lamar. He picks his ass.
Yeah, right.
Because he knows everyone's focused on that point. When he turns his back to the audience, he knows that's where everyone's looking. And so he catches you doing that. Everyone catches himself.
I don't know. I think Scott pegged it as he is so confident in his manliness that he could dress up in drag all the way down to having real breasts and a vagina.
A vagina,
and
John.
Still
get laid.
Still get laid. Because he just does whatever.
I'm toasting him right now.
And here's the thing that John didn't get, which I got, I guess. More than half of the women there were there to see Steve, is what I found out.
Oh, you found out? That's after we left.
And if they didn't know Steve, you're like, why are you here? Well, I'm here to see Steve. I know Steve. You know Steve?
You know Steve?
You know Steve? Yeah, you want me to introduce you to Steve?
Oh, my God. You know Steve?
So definitely, Steve, I, myself, John, maybe I'm a woman. I don't know. Maybe I'm in touch with my feminine side. I could not take my eyes off Steve. The second this guy gets on stage, he's in character. He's picking his ass. He's always in motion. Always in motion. And he carries off this nerd persona, but with a coolness about it. And so when I told you this story, I was like, when we talked, whenever, and I said more than half the women there are there to see Steve, you're like, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Because you think he's odd looking.
Yeah. Well, especially with the gear on, but, you know.
Well, he's definitely odd looking with the gear on, but he's an attractive man. He's what, about 5'10", 5'11"? He's in shape, right?
Yeah.
And he's got that Mediterranean, that Greek thing going on.
The flashlight? Is that a Mediterranean flashlight?
Yeah, the crowbar thing, you know. So
well, I was thinking this, since it's got the Greek thing going on, it might be men that would be more attracted to them.
It was unbelievable.
I don't know.
The women were all over it. Like, during the break, he'd come off stage, and he'd just be swarmed with the most attractive women in the place.
I think the attraction, a lot of the attraction is in the fact that he doesn't take himself seriously on stage.
If it was a
typical rock band up there who took themselves seriously in their music,
well, then you'd call them a poser.
Right, and you'd get a couple of girls, but these girls saw a guy up there, a group of guys up there that aren't afraid to make fun of themselves. That's attractive to women, that they're not the macho poser types, and that makes them flock to that.
And they were nice guys. I mean, they're very nice guys. Yeah. They invited us to play.
That was unbelievable.
Well, if I could only figure out a 5-string bass.
Yeah, I know.
We were talking about
that on the way home when we were going, should we have gone up and done that? Scott wouldn't have been able to.
So the other 4 strings are like a regular bass, right?
I know.
No.
Will you shut up? Don't ask. They thought we were a real band for a while there.
Hey, man, we are a real band.
So the other 4 are regular bass, right?
No.
Eric, right? Steve.
And what'd he say? We all play at 4:30?
At 4:30?
Remember?
All right. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, he didn't know what that meant.
What?
How they tune their...
4:30 p.m.? Yeah.
How's he able to sing that? How's he able to sing those parts? Oh, we're all playing at 4:30.
All right.
Yeah, what do you got to tune at? 4:30.
I could play 4:30, 5:30, whenever you call me. I'll be there.
What do you got the low note at a B? Okay. But the other 4 strings are regular bass, right? No.
But I was so overwhelmed by Steve's performance, I may start playing with my thumb.
You should. Nice. Try incorporating that in there, yeah. It's a style. It's not a level of expertise.
It's a style.
Sting-a-ding-ding-ding plays with the thumb.
It is a style.
Yeah.
Sting-a-ding-ding-ding plays with the thumb.
It's a kick-ass style, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He was jamming.
The Spasmatics. Check them out.
Yeah, they're great.
That was a great show.
Excellent.
They opened with...
Excellent.
That's what I like about you.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't have any backing tracks for the first 2 songs.
No, but they did have it for Karma Chameleon, I remember that.
And then they changed, you said, Scott, the singer played bass and Steve sang.
Right. The singer played bass and Steve sang a couple of songs. Actually, in one of the breaks, Steve came over and...
One of the breaks? You were there for the whole show?
Not for the whole show. Oh. But he came over and I was talking to him and I said, hey, man, I think I can be a singer for the Spasmatics. And he said, all right, man, you can try out. Let's have a tryout. I told him to give me the 5 toughest, what he thinks are the 5 toughest songs. Give me a week to practice and I'll try out, right?
All right. Well, we got to videotape that because that's going to be the best fucking video ever.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, you're a good singer, no doubt. You,
well, here's the
problem.
And
this is what Volpe said about you, too. And then he lies and tells you different at the Beacon. I said, yeah, Scott's thinking about it, being a singer in the Spasmatics. He goes, no. Are you serious? No, he couldn't do that. He's too big, and the look he has, it's just too, like, it was like he was saying you're too mean looking to be a geek.
That's the thing, John. That's what I was going to point out. I am too goddamn hot.
What are you
going to
be, Melville Toxic Avenger?
I'm too big. I got broad shoulders. I'm svelte. I'm cut to shreds.
Yeah. Oh my God.
How can I pull off a nerd persona? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely would have to lose a lot of weight. I'd have to get back in shape, and I'd have to get a lot thinner. And I'd have to be like,
I'll tell you, you singing, come a chameleon.
Right, no
red,
doubt.
Golden green. I would fucking floor me. That would be the funniest goddamn thing. You'd probably make $1 billion. They would ship you right over to Mandalay Bay in Vegas, and you would be the lead singer.
But here's the other thing. So right after we had this conversation, they go back up on stage. Guess what's the first song they play?
What?
Guns N' Roses.
Nah!
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I don't
Welcome
know if I can do
Welcome to the Jungle! Was it that one?
I can't remember what it was, but it was Guns N' Roses, and I'm like, oh, crap.
Or Paradise, or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it was Paradise.
Paradise
it starts
City?
Like this. I'm going to do the mouth guitar. Okay, ready?
Sweet, that's a sweet child of mine.
Sweet child of mine.
Listen to see how good Rick is, man. He pulled that right out of the air, and it was. Now this is the uncanny thing about Rick. We're in Springfield, and we're all fucked up. We had played a gig.
I had just thrown up in front of Abe Lincoln's log cabin too.
Who?
I did.
You did not.
When we were walking past it at 3 a.m.
Are you serious?
It was me or it was Sternberg.
Well, anyway, we ended up back at the bar that we ended up playing at. I played with some guys, and then Kangaroo Court played at this bar that we were sleeping there that night. And later on, we came back to the bar, and the band that played after us was some sort of like a shit-kicking kind of like
hippie.
They're
called Broken Grass.
Broken Grass. And they start playing this tune, and they're like, and Rick's like, oh, yeah, that's, what was it? It was
Black Crows.
Black Crows.
Hard to Handle.
Hard to Handle. And I'm like, no way. How the fuck can you? That's not Hard to Handle. And they get to the chorus, and sure enough, Hard to Handle now. And it's like 400 miles an hour. And there's no way anybody could pick that out but Rick. He picked it out of the air, whether they played the pitch or the notes just right or what. But Scott, he just demonstrated now with Scott playing
playing a horrible mouth guitar.
And I'm like, what the fuck is that, Twilight Zone?
How are we doing on time there, John?
Sweet child of mine. Whoa. Ow. Ow. Ow.
you should try out.
We got 8 more minutes there, buddy.
All right, man. Abe, any closing thoughts on the Spasmatics? Oh, Rocco came over. He's been with the Spasmatics. He's a guitar player. Did he say 12 or 17 years?
12 years.
12 years. And the cool thing about Steve and Rocco is this is their living.
Mm-hmm.
They do this for a living, and they make a good buck, man.
Well, I got an email from Phil, God rest his soul, that he wants to be a drummer in the Spasmatics.
Really?
He wants to come tomorrow night and meet Steve, because I told him that Steve is going to hook up with Rick to buy a guitar, right, Rick?
That's code.
Possibly.
Yeah, it's code.
Is that tomorrow night?
That's tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think Phil's going to be there. I think we might see the ghost of Phil.
The ghost of Phil tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
That would be outstanding,
to, man. Interview, the preliminary interview to be a sub-drummer for the Spasmatics.
Well, I could do that, too. I could try out for a drummer as well.
Oh,
you could try
an
out.
Awesome video.
Anybody can try out.
That is definitely the video. Those two are going to be, that'll be the greatest videos ever.
What, the tryout videos?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to come in costume when I try out, man. And I'm going to have to lose like 40 pounds to pull it off.
You can come as Zeb.
Why? Why? What do you got to lose 40 pounds?
I'm too big, man. I'm too muscular.
You could come as that, what's that movie? You could come as that biker from Weird Science that crashed into the living room during the party.
Yeah.
Right,
the
right.
Ball
yeah, you could do him.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
End, where he's like,
oh, we forgot the story about the army guy.
Oh, the Afghanistan guy.
That I stared down. The guy was like 6'8", 350.
Oh, 6'8". You mean inches. 6 inches, 8 millimeters, right?
That's how feet is. That's how far his feet were off the floor when he was sitting on the bar stool.
He was like a mini-me or something. What do you mean?
What do you mean, mini-me?
Yeah, he's the real badass. We're like, Scott says, all right, man, I think I'm going to have to brawl. I might have to say bleed. Somebody say bleed.
Somebody say
I'm
bleed.
Like, oh, no. There's bouncers here, man. You don't need to do that shit. Oh, no. This chick's going to give me the sign.
Yeah.
And when she flicks her nose like this, like Bruce Lee, I got to go over. And then I see Scott go, hey, what? You need help? What? And she's like flicking her nose out of the corner of my eye. And he goes, yeah, I need some help over here. Scott goes over, and you know, he's got the big shoulders, and You can't see who he's talking to. It could have been a fucking small child. And he's like, he's
I thought
over.
It was our waitress.
He's hulking over this
That dude was
person.
Like 6'8", yeah, man.
6'8" in your nightmares. And I said to Rick, finally he comes over, and I said, so what happened? Is it all cool? Are we going to brawl? Do we need the bouncers? What? Oh, no, man. I gave him the stare down. He's buying me a drink right now. He comes over. He comes up to my chest. And hey,
what are you, like 7 feet tall?
He's like, hey, man, this guy was in Iraq and Afghanistan, man. Oh, hey. We start shaking his hand. Real nice guy, just totally hammered.
And this guy just had angioplasty over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, really? And he goes, really, man? And then I told him, yeah, and Rick was born
in Guam.
What are
you? He said, what are you, 25?
Right.
So that's close. We resolved a situation, okay?
It was beautiful.
Not only a band, we're problem solvers, John.
Right.
Problem
we're
solvers.
Bring the world together.
That's right.
And then I said something about Rick being born in Guam. So you're from Nam and all this stuff, some shit like that. And you told me your dad was, I forget.
Well, we lived in Guantanamo.
Guantanamo,
when I was in,
right.
Kindergarten, yeah.
You were at Gitmo.
Yeah, Gitmo.
And really? And it's true, right?
Yeah,
this
right.
is a true story.
Yeah.
So we left there, and as we're walking out, I said to Rick, I go, yeah, it's got to be toast, man. This guy would be all over Scott like a spider. He'd be crawling around his back. And all, hey, ow, 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 ow,
biting my ears off, shit like that.
He was a cut little fucker, though, yeah. That's for sure.
I mean, you definitely, if you'd have to get on top of him to get him down. But other this guy would be all over the place. Like one of those, I remember when I was in wrestling in high school. And I thought, okay, here. You remember that guy Skeeter? They called him Skeeter Mandrella.
No. Skeeter
Mandrella. He had a. His dad was a
was
math teacher.
Was he on
teacher.
Saved by the Bell? Skeeter?
No, his dad was. That was Screech. You doofus.
Oh, Screech, right?
Duffus.
His dad. His dad was a math teacher. It's at the high school. We
oh,
went
I
to.
Had him, Mr. Mandrella.
Mandrella.
The smelly Mandrella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He, light bulb head with a beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
His one of his sons. We used to call him Skeeter because he was like 80 pounds, and I started messing with him, wrestling. You know, hey, come on, man. Yeah, you're nothing. And I was wrestling like 132, and he was wrestling like 80 pounds. He fucking latched onto me like one of those aliens in the movie Alien on my face. Ah! I couldn't
you
get
were
him
done.
Off. I was done. Toast.
So did you quit wrestling then?
No, I didn't quit wrestling till I had to wrestle Cesar Blanco every fucking Thursday night, who was like all state since he was two. And the one thing he told me was that he could never pin me because I was like slippery like a fish. But he always won on points, so I never got to wrestle like in a normal bout. I always had to wrestle exhibition. But I did this guy, McJunkin. You know that guy?
No.
I wrestled this guy, and he rammed my head into the frickin' scoreboard. And I jumped up and punched him in the throat.
Sweet. Then you got kicked off the team or what?
No, Mr. Behringer put it like a big fucking pretzel lock on me. He took me down, double leg takedown, threw some moves on me, locked me up in like a crystallizer with my balls up in the air between his arms, and because I was flipping out.
So your bits were vulnerable.
Yeah, and that's when I quit.
That's a good choice. So Rick, have you
ever
known
when a guy grabs my balls, I'm done.
This is news to me and Rick that you were on wrestling because that's like
that'd
totally
be a good,
gay.
That'd be a good
freshman year. Man.
Hey, did you get a chance to talk to or rub up against the cowgirl that was there that night?
The cowgirl? No, but Steve was very intimate with the cowgirl.
Don't tell me that.
Wait a minute. Wrestling's gay and you were in swimming? You swimmer fag? Shut
wrestling,
up!
In swimming, we didn't have to touch other men, okay?
Oh. Yeah, right.
We were separated.
We don't know what you're doing in the shower, you homo.
I did both, and they're both fun.
Well, who?
Dr. George chiming in.
All right, let's move into Shattershy. A quick game of Shattershy Noah, which we love.
All right.
Rick defending, won last week.
Defending champion.
Defending right. champ, Rick.
Well, it's still a controversial call.
I actually won first. I won first.
All right, here we go.
Let's get ready to play.
Shattershy Noah.
All right, Scott, take it away.
All right, if you're at home, get out your pens and keep score.
Because Scott doesn't.
Somebody's got it.
All right, first question. Shattershy Noah, the rock, paper, scissors game originated in Egypt in 2000 BC. Shattershy Noah.
No doubt.
Shinola.
And you're all right. You're all on the board. Egypt, 1 point. Yeah. That is a fact. A game played by throwing hand signs, traveled to Greece and then on to the Romans, where they called it Mikatio.
It was used
to settle disputes over merchandise transaction in the forums and was so common in ancient Rome that there was a proverb to describe an honest person, which is in Latin.
God.
And I'm not going to read that. But translated, trustworthy enough to play Mikatio in the dark with him. You get that, man?
Fellas.
Yeah.
All right, it's a tie game.
All right.
Next one. Once detonated, a thermonuclear fusion bomb takes about 3 seconds to explode. Shattershy Noah.
Oh, that's shit.
I'll say Shinola.
I'm going Shinola, too.
All right, John is up.
All right, John.
Nice.
John is up 2-1-1. Because that is total shit. It takes only 600 billionths of a second.
That's right.
For the 10 main post-detonation steps to take place. These include implosion of the fusion bomb, release of radiation, heat, and neutrons from the fissioning rod. The fissioning rod, John. And fission in the U-238 pieces from the bomb's tamper and shield. The resulting explosion of the Teller-Ullmann fusion bomb and the basic design of all thermonuclear bombs today is the equivalent of that of 700 little boys, the type of bomb that was detonated over Hiroshima.
Wow.
All right, it's 2-1.
I was hoping that explanation would take less than 3 seconds.
2-1? What are you talking about?
John is up 2-1-1.
There you go.
I thought Big Boy was it, though.
Next, Shattershy Noah.
No, that's me.
Johnny Cash spent a year of hard time behind bars at Folsom Prison. Shattershy Noah.
Shinola.
Shit.
Shinola.
Shit.
All right, it's 2-1. It is, let me do this in my head. Rick gained a point. John and Dr. George went nowhere.
So didn't you guys watch the movie?
I'm tied with Rick.
You are tied with Rick. George is in last place because that is total shit.
So let's just say
2-1.
1-1-2 or 1-1-0.
No, don't
confuse me even more. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Johnny Cash admits doing a few overnights in jail for a raucous behavior. He never did hard time at Folsom, though he is famous for his live concerts at the penitentiary.
And he wore black because of the injustice in the world.
There you go. Next, Shattershy Noah. The average human being who lives for 70 years spends 23 of them sleeping. Shattershy Noah.
Ooh.
Shinola.
That's Shinola, yeah.
Shinola.
I would say so.
All right, it is 3-3-2. 3-3-2.
3-3.
We're all right.
John and Rick move up one, and so does George. That is total Shinola. That works out to about 8 hours of sleep a night, additionally, Pace Productivity Experts on the Use of Time reports that 19 years are spent working, 9 in leisure, 7 in travel, 6 in eating, 3 in illness, 2 in personal grooming, and 1 in religious pursuits.
What about sex?
Not in here.
Leisure.
Okay.
That is leisure. All right, 3-3-2. We're on our last question tonight.
All right.
Last question.
Last question.
Unless we need a tiebreaker. Mama Cass died in 1974 when she choked on a sandwich. Mama Cass died in 1974 when she choked on a sandwich.
I say shit.
Shinola.
It's shit.
Shinola.
All right, Rick and John go up 4-4-2 because it is
a
total
tie.
Shit.
All right.
According to autopsy results, Cass Elliott, the plus-size singer from the pop group
She
the
choked
Mamas
on
and
Sonny
Papas,
Bono.
Died from heart failure due to obesity. Nothing was found in her throat or trachea, and no drugs were found in her system. Strangely, it was the same London flat that drummer Keith Moon died from a prescription drug overdose four years later.
Who?
All right, Dr. George, I'm sorry to report that you did not make it to the final sudden death round.
Well, that's all right, because when I win, you take it away from me.
It is now between Rick and John. Next question. The modern mercury thermometer.
Oh, man.
With vitamin V.
The modern mercury thermometer. Thank you, Dr. George. Was invented by a man named Fahrenheit. Shit or Shinola?
Shit.
Shinola.
John says Shinola. Rick says...
Shit.
Shit. And John is
wins.
The winner of this week's Shatter Shinola.
Even I knew that.
Because that is total Shinola. The original idea for the thermometer is attributed to Galileo. The modern sealed mercury-filled thermometer was invented by German physicist Gabriel Fahrenheit.
Wow.
He also proposed the first thermometer scale, widely adopted and bearing his name, whereby 32 degrees designates the freezing point of water and 212
Enjoy
degrees
it while you can, John.
The boiling point
temperature. It's the first one I've won.
Of water at standard atmosphere.
Well, wow.
Well, you're going to take it away from now or what?
Enjoy it while you can, John.
So just some formality wrapped around Shatter Shinola. It'll be a 5-question match. With sudden death being after the 5 questions.
Wow. I blinked on that last one anyways.
It's out of sight. I appreciate that. What do I get?
I thought you winked.
You get the pride and joy and all that goes with it.
I thought I'd get like explode a pop popcorn or something like on David Letterman.
Okay, I'll hook you up.
All right, sweet. Or maybe I get to remove one Chipotle from the Chipotle's
no, of course not, no.
Damn it.
That would be 2 Chipotles that you've owed me for over a year.
No,
now.
Has it been that long? No, come on.
Well, both you guys got to quit the Chipotles,
when
too.
The Lord when the Lord shows up later, we'll ask him. He'll
Rick's
know.
Rick's going to throw himself on a Chipotle to save us.
I'll throw my body on that pineapple for you guys.
All right, that's all the time we have for part one. Stay tuned for... Did I say stay tuned?
Stay tuned. It's not a tumor.
It's not the Halloween show yet.
I'm just stalling because I don't have the sound bites lined up.
All right, then. So remember
Since I'm
to
not going to win producer of the year.
www.totaltalknonsense.com, John.
That's right.
Hey, and stop by the Kangaroo Court website, too, when you get a chance.
No, what's the phone number?
Even though it hasn't been updated since April.
Okay. Hey, I can turn the admin rights over to you.
Oh, see how he gets, man?
Yeah, I see.
Put
somebody
a little pressure
on
him.
Hasn't even gotten their email working yet.
He doesn't even have a PC. He couldn't even visit the website if he wanted to.
How does he know it's been not been updated since April then?
Right.
I went on my wife's laptop.
Oh, you went
Oh, how was that?
It sounds dirty.
It does.
No, we're going to get one as soon as the back-to-school specials are over.
Nice.
All right, we'd like to...
A new one.
You could phone us up at 847... what is it? 886-4493. 847-886-4493, which is 847-TTN-GIZD. TTN-GIZD.
And we'd like to thank Rick and him bringing his doctor, Dr. George, by again.
You're welcome.
To give us an update on his status.
And after this, it's over, right? No more updates because it's done. I mean,
what do you mean it's
done?
Well,
I might have to see your balls again.
Before, to make sure the bruising's all gone.
That's right. Can we get a picture for the website?
Sure.
All right. Out of sight.
We could do that
I think
tomorrow.
We already have one. It's on the MySpace account.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know what? I'll bring in the picture of the actual angiogram, too.
Well, I have the picture of the stabbing. His Halloween stabbing.
Oh, yeah.
And,
when he was carving a pumpkin.
Right.
I put a knife right through my hand.
Almost a year ago.
That's right. And now he's actually had a hanger wire shoved up his thigh.
Oh, I got to tell you something. Ever since this thing happened to Rick, I have chest pains. I have circulation problems. What do they call that? Is it psychosomatic?
He's
not pregnant. Yeah. He's not pregnant.
I hope not. I'm like, is that indigestion or am I having a mild heart attack?
Sympathy,
what is going on?
Sympathy pains. You guys are way too close.
We are.
Well, you did say, Scott, in Amsterdam, you are more intimate with Rick now than ever.
Of course.
Than anybody you've ever known.
Was it worded that way exactly?
Something like that. Yeah.
I remember that. I remember him saying that.
We're walking on a muddy road. And
a little cobblestone, yeah.
In the middle of the red light district during the day, I think it was, or at night. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. All right, then. That's all the time we have for part one.
67 part one.
Stay tuned for part two.
Thank you for listening to part one of AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. Part two is just a click away.